Today is January 29th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $23,754.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just another beautiful Sunday.
Another beautiful Sunday. We are close, so close to the end of the first month of 2023. What do we got, like three more days left?
Yeah. Technically two, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can just not count this day. Like, this day is pretty much done. When you're listening to this, it's probably going to be the 30th anyways, if you listen to it, like, on time, if you're on it. There's a lot of financial news that's starting to come out. We should be starting to see, I think Apple, Google, and Amazon are all going to announce their, Q4 earnings this next week. We've got the Fed going to announce, what their rate hike is going to be on Wednesday, I believe, or if they're going to do a rate hike, which I'm pretty sure they're going to. And then you brought up something interesting that I had not seen yet. And that was the GDP for Q4 2022.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't have known what to guess. I mean, we kind of guessed wrong on the inflation figures, but then they're saying that the economy grew by 2.9% last quarter.
Yeah.
So, it just kind of reinforces the fact that I think the books are cooked.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a pessimist, but that's kind of how I feel about that.
Yep, it says, according to Forbes, it says the U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 2.9% in Q4 2022, ahead of the forecast 2.8%. It's the second consecutive quarter of positive growth following the start of 2022, which kicked off two negative quarters in a row. Most economists believe that we're going to see a recession in 2023 with weak growth expected across the board.
Yep. I just don't trust this. They're telling us, yeah, we're growing still, but, you know, expect a recession later. So you almost need to expect a really bad recession if that's what they're saying.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious now, and I'm just going to try and see if I can pull this up real quick, what the GDP quarters were for all of 2022.
I'm just looking at a little graph, but it was Q4 was up to, it looked like it was in 2021, it looked like it was growing at almost 7%. Q1 of 2022 was negative, almost not quite 2%. Q2 was slightly negative at maybe negative 1% roughly, and then Q3 was positive about 3%, and a little bit higher than 3% because now that Q4 is a little bit shy of that at 2.9%. Actually, 3.2% was Q3.
Okay. And it still beat their expectation of what I think they said 2.8% is what they were expecting, and they got 2.9%.
Yes. So
that's interesting, to say the least. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been so on the fence, and we've seen actually pretty strong reactions in the stock market from everything that's been going on, especially with the Fed, you know, not appearing as hawkish as what they were previously. If they're really going to hold true to only having basically 50 basis points raised throughout the remainder of 2023, we'll have to wait and see. So I'm curious. I don't know. I don't know what the FOMC Fed meeting will hold on Wednesday. I don't know if they will end up actually just doing 25 basis points. That's my guess. They could do nothing. I don't think they'll do that. But we shall see.
Yeah. Well, if they're doing, I mean, they're saying that inflation is starting to go down. It's only at 6% now, mm-hmm. or in the previous meeting. So I still expect them to do probably 50 basis points.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. I mean, do you expect 50 basis points at this meeting or for the year still?
At this meeting, we'll see about the rest of the year.
So you're expecting 50 basis points at the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say that they're still either going to do 25 basis points or nothing at this meeting, but we shall see. Something else I was going to bring up, and we kind of talked about this before we started recording, was Arizona Senator introduces bill to make Bitcoin legal tender in the state. It was being introduced by Senator Wendy Rogers, Republican out of Arizona. When the thing that we were talking about this from before is like, yeah, like a lot of Bitcoiners get excited. They're like, oh yeah, make it legal tender. You can introduce whatever legislation you want. Right. Yep. Like right now, like I think there was that one senator that introduced the flat tax or the fair tax in the United States. That's not going to go anywhere. Where they basically were going to abolish the IRS and basically it was going to be a 30% consumption tax that was going to go on everything. But they won't do that. So, I mean, yeah, this is great little news media type thing. I mean, yeah, it's great. Whatever. Just get Bitcoin kind of on the buzz again, especially considering it's had such great, I think it was a great January, like the best January it's had in basically a decade. It's only been around 14 years anyway. So, that's
technically its 15th January now.
I know it's only its 14th January.
14th, okay.
Yeah. Bitcoin, I think it was January 3rd was Bitcoin's birthday, 14th birthday. Even though Bitcoin doesn't know any different. It just does what it does.
It doesn't blow out the candles. It just does whatever it wants.
Yeah, it just continues to work. It's like that. Something else?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, just because you can introduce legislation doesn't mean it's going to happen. I mean, the new governor in Arizona, I mean, I've been paying attention to some of the stuff that's gone on there and the legal arguments. And there was some shady stuff that happened in Maricopa County, which is the conservative county, one of, a fairly conservative county in Arizona, where basically a lot of people were not able to vote.
Yeah,
and ballots were rejected. It's a mess. But with that type of lady, I mean, she kind of hid in her basement, kind of like Biden in the 2020 election. I mean, that's kind of her election strategy. And I imagine she's kind of handled the same way that Biden is. And I'm pretty sure her handlers would not be so kosher with her signing this legislation.
Yeah. No, especially because it was coming from a Republican senator in Arizona, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't see that going anywhere. However, it's kind of exciting to see, right? Like I said, it's more of a puff piece in a way, because it's not going to happen. Puff piece, make you feel better, make you be like, oh yeah, Bitcoin. Guess what, Arizona, they're going to make it legal tender, and somebody's going to be like, oh, they did, even though they just introduced the legislation. So
exactly.
A country we haven't talked about in a little while, and I wanted to bring this up because the president of El Salvador is very upset that nobody's talking about this, and not that he cares if we talk about it, but Nayib Bukele announced that El Salvador paid off $800 million worth of debt, and he took to Twitter talking about this. He was very, very upset. He says, Full page spreads on the New York Times and all, creating the narrative that El Salvador was broken, going to default. I called them out at that time, but of course, who is going to believe us? And not every international news outlet and their economic geniuses. So he had a tweet where he was basically talking about this, and this happened on January 23rd, showing the tweet where they were basically just saying that El Salvador was making a huge mistake. And this was, they don't have the date on there, but they show that, well, we just paid off $800 million plus interest, but of course, almost nobody is covering the story. He found one story in Colombia in Spanish talking about it, but that's it. And he says they lie and lie, and when their lies are exposed, they go on silence mode. So,
yeah.
not uncommon. Yeah,
I mean, you can't disagree with him. I mean, if you look at what's been happening with the Twitter files, I mean, it's just been radio silence on what's some of the stuff that's come out on that.
Yep. And something interesting that came out of that, too, is according to a reported by Bloomberg, optimism that El Salvador can avoid default is showing in the numbers. Its dollar debt has rallied an average of 23% so far this year, the best performance of any emerging economy tracked by a key of Bloomberg Index. This month, El Salvador was able to secure a $450 million loan, looks like going right back into the coffers, from the Central American Bank for Economic Integration, helping to ensure El Salvador's ability to meet future bond maturities until 2023. So, I mean, they paid off the debt and then looks like they borrowed again to go right back into it. So
we're credit worthy. Give us more money.
Yeah, good job for a moment. And there's still a lot of development going on in their Bitcoin city where they were actually going to use volcanic energy to mine Bitcoin and provide power for the country, all those types of things. So we'll see. I think El Salvador is going to be an interesting place to keep your eye on and just see where it all heads.
Well, speaking of that, with El Salvador, I mean, them paying us off, they jumped on the Bitcoin bandwagon probably at the worst time or pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, it was September 2021 and the Bitcoin hit its peak in November 2021 at 69,000.
Nice. Yep. Yeah. They, they hit that. They talk about, I mean, that's the exact thing you're not supposed to do in the market, right?
That's what you try and avoid doing. But with Bitcoin, I mean, it's going to swing one way or the other. You just don't know which side you're on until a few months after the fact.
And I think something that's interesting about that, too, when we look at that time period, that was after the initial blow-off top of 64,000 back in April of 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we saw that drawdown. And then partway back up is when they did their – when they made it legal tender, partway during its rise back up. And so they bought it right as it was starting to kind of, or they announced it as legal tender kind of right in that trough area, which was great. And then it rallied up to, you know, 69,000. Nice. And then we've seen our drop ever since. So.
Yep. Well, until January 2023, it's kind of hopefully, you know, keep that momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen for this year. A lot of questions. And then something I wanted to bring up, not that we were going into too much depth on a lot of this stuff, but because it was Bitcoin's 14th birthday on the 3rd, and we kind of didn't touch on that last time I recorded, I have a figure in front of me, and this is Bitcoin's gains over its lifetime. And this was just kind of, it was... People had talked about it a while back, kind of what, you know, what Bitcoin had actually done over its lifetime percentage-wise, basically in the past 14 years. Like, if you would have bought at the very, very beginning, what your percentage of gains would have looked like. And so I want you to take a guess. What would your return have been?
Well, it's almost infinite because it had no value in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You ready for the number?
What is it?
1.69 billion percentage gain.
Man, should have got in early. You put a penny in, you'd be have a chunk of money, man.
You could have put in a dollar at that time, and you would be so filthy rich at this point.
Yep.
Which obviously, I mean, it's a lot harder to do than what we think, right? I mean, I think about this all the time, especially because we've talked about exchanges and how it's not good to keep your money on exchanges or anything like that. You got to realize, I mean, like, if you were buying in that early, like, this is pre-Mt. Gox fiasco. This is pre-all that stuff. So, yeah, you could have totally mined it with your own computer at your home. No problem. Probably gotten quite a few Bitcoin and just tried to keep that computer alive for 14 years.
At least that hard drive, right?
Yeah. And then, I mean, but you would have had to continually keep an eye on it and, you know, just keep on building on it that whole time. So, Mt. Gox, like, people didn't even understand the security risks at the time. I think there was a report, and I shouldn't bring this up because I didn't pull the actual report, but Binance actually got caught having their liquidity cash, basically, or their liquidity coins sitting on their collateral wallet recently. I mean, they called it their mistake, but it's one of those things where it's like, after the Mt. Gox fiasco, like, I give Mt. Gox a little bit more slack because they really didn't know. They sold Magic the Gathering cards, for crying out loud.
That's what it stands for, right?
Yeah, Magic the Gathering Online Exchange.
Online Exchange.
Is what originally it was, and then it became a Bitcoin platform. And then they got taken for, because they probably had no security, and it was all just sitting on dude's computer.
Yeah.
So.
Live wallet, yep.
Yep, yeah, dude, nobody knew. I mean, you kind of knew, but you didn't know. Anyways, yeah, just seeing that number, it's ridiculous. I mean, if you look at, you know, what's gold's return for the same time period? Not even close.
It's like probably somewhere negative, probably, actually.
I mean, it just, man.
Yeah,
1.69 billion percent.
I know gold touched in that time frame. It did touch 2,200 or came real close back then.
So you would have been looking at like a 100% return?
No. 2,200 versus what is it at right now?
Currently it's at 1,928.
So 1,900. So you'd be looking at, you know, $300 loss or whatever percentage that is.
Yeah, I was going to look at
over 10% loss.
Now I've got to look, Rick. Now I've got to look. Okay, so gold. We're looking at 2010. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
14th birthday, 2009.
2009.
Sorry, I'm going back to my Wayback Machine. Gold price at that time was, looks like it was, we'll call it close enough, $1,124 back in 2009. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, you'd see 100% gain, right? Isn't that what that would break down to?
Not quite.
I mean, a little bit less, but pretty close.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gain.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not horrible.
I think it doesn't. Maybe it was billion. In 2012. It peaked at 2020 or 22, and then never quite recovered.
Yeah, it looks like it was August 1st. It looks like 2011 went up to $1,918.
Okay.
I mean, like right now, currently back in April of 2020, which amongst the COVID and all the other rallies that were going on, that's when it got to 2,085. So, yeah, Bitcoin, man, talk about a great strategy over the past 14 years if you would have had the foresight.
Yep. Well, honestly, it's like historically it's been a great strategy, you know, if you just look at your time horizon of 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're approaching the beginning of the next four-year cycle, so. If we're not already in the beginning of it, I mean, we're already kind of in it, but we'll have to kind of go from there. And like I said, I don't know what the future holds for Bitcoin. It depends on what the macroeconomic conditions are. I mean, if the Fed really releases the floodgates again on money printing, which they haven't done a very good job of keeping it tight anyways, then we'll have to see.
Yep. But that goes for every market right now.
Yeah. I think we should try and record again on Thursday, which would be, what is that, the 2nd?
Yeah.
That'll be after the FOMC meeting, and we can kind of see from there.
Okay.
What that was. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, man. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up today?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk at you later.
Bye.
Bye.